Chapter 9. Finding God is the greatest happiness. The purpose of human life is to find God. That is the only reason for our existence. Job, friends, material interest, these things in themselves mean nothing. They can never provide you with true happiness for the simple reason that none of them in itself is complete. Only God encompasses everything. That is why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the giver of all gifts, and ye shall receive from him all his gifts of lesser fulfillment." Joy is an aspect of God. Divine joy is like millions of earthly joys crushed into one. The quest for human happiness is like looking around for a candle while sitting out of doors in the sun. Divine joy surrounds us eternally, yet people look to mere things for their happiness. Mostly, all they find is relief from emotional or physical pain. But divine joy is the blazing reality. Before it, earthly joys are but shadows. Pray thus to God. My infinite beloved, I know that thou art nearer than these words with which I pray, nearer even than my nearest thoughts. Behind my every restless feeling, may I feel thy concern for me and thy love. Behind my awareness, may I feel sustained and guided by thy consciousness. Behind my love for thee, may I become ever more deeply conscious of thy love. If you continuously pray to him in this way, and if you pray with all sincerity, you will feel his presence suddenly as a great joy in your heart. In that bursting joy, you will know that he is with you and that he is your very own. The true purpose of life is to know God. Worldly temptations were given you to help you develop discrimination. Will you prefer sense pleasures? Or will you choose God? Pleasures seem alluring at first, but if you choose them, sooner or later you will find yourself enmeshed in endless troubles and difficulties. Loss of health, of peace of mind, and of happiness is the lot of everyone who succumbs to the lure of sense pleasures. Infinite joy, on the other hand, is yours once you know God. Every human being will have, eventually, to learn this great lesson of life. Suffering is a reminder that this world is not our home. If it were perfect for us, how many people would seek a better one? Even with things as imperfect as they are, see how few people seek God. Out of 1,000, said Krishna, perhaps one. The law of life is this. The less one lives in harmony with the truth within, the more he suffers. But the more he lives in harmony with that truth, the more he experiences unending happiness. Nothing, then, can touch him. Even though his body waste away with disease, and people ridicule and persecute him, through all the vagaries of life, he remains ever blissfully centered in the indwelling self. Get away, Krishna said, from my ocean of suffering and misery. With God, life is a feast of happiness, but without him, it is a nest of troubles, pains, and disappointments. Deep meditation keeps the consciousness always on God, and lack of meditation keeps the consciousness on the senses. If you are not meditating and you still feel a nearness to God all the time, you are retaining the full benefit of your recent meditation. If you can retain the joy and thrill of meditation during the entire day, you are still meditating. You are then unattached to the senses. When you can feel God in the flesh as well as in meditation, it is complete. That is what devotees who follow the path of meditation experience. They become detached. They do everything as a part of their duty, but are not attached to it. Occasionally, a soul realizes the joy that is in meditation and searches for God day and night. Even when God doesn't answer, still he goes on until suddenly he finds God. We have to work to reach the infinite and work in the right way. No one can give you self-realization. You have to work for that reward. All the spiritual teachers in the world cannot give you salvation unless you make the effort to receive it. Joy and God are one. Joy is the healing that you want first, the healing of the ignorance of the soul. Eventually, you will have to dump the physical body in the dust, so you must think of spirit now. Affirmations are better than the usual form of prayers. Do not beg favors from God. He will not break any law of his universe because you ask him to. But when you demand your birthright as a child of his, then he will listen. A long prayer with words, words, words does not mean anything at all, for then the mind is wandering. Doing an affirmation, one should both say and feel deeply the meaning of the thought behind the words. Then the thought will go deeply into the conscious mind, then into the subconscious, and then into the superconscious. When it registers in the superconsciousness, it manifests. Always affirm with intelligence and devotion until your thought goes consciously through the subconscious mind into the superconscious mind. The greatest healing you should pray for is the healing of your ignorance, so that you will never go back to your old life. The best and highest reward in our life is the realization of unceasing happiness, which we call peace or bliss. If one loses a diamond and tries to satisfy himself with little pieces of broken glass shining with sunlight, he is bound to be disillusioned. He cannot find the diamond in the pile of broken glass. He is seeking in the wrong place and can never be happy until he seeks in the right place and finds the diamond. In the same way, the soul tries to find its happiness in the momentarily glittering sense pleasures. But when it has enough of sense happiness, it becomes disgusted and tries to find peace and joy in the soul. It is foolish to expect true happiness from material things, for they are powerless to give it, and yet millions of people die of broken hearts, trying vainly to find the comfort in material things which God alone can impart. The soul, being individualized spirit, if given a chance to unfold, can manifest all the fulfillment and satisfaction of the spirit. It is through long, continued contact with changeable matter that material desires are developed. Protect the soul from the disturbance created within your mind by the mad dance of sorrow producing desire. Learn to overcome wild, wicked desire. Realize that you do not need the things which create misery, for if you search within your soul, you will find there true happiness and lasting peace or bliss. Thus, you will become a bliss billionaire. The soul's nature is bliss, a lasting inner state of ever new, ever changing joy, which eternally entertains, even when one passes through the trials of physical suffering or death. Desirelessness is not a negation. It is rather the attainment of the self-control you need in order to regain the heritage of all fulfillment lying within your soul. First, give the soul the opportunity to manifest this state by meditation. Then, constantly living in this state, do your duty to your body and mind and the world. You need not give up your ambitions and become negative. On the contrary, let the everlasting joy, which is your true nature, help you to realize all noble ambitions. Enjoy noble experiences with the joy of God. Perform real duties with divine joy. You are immortals, endowed with eternal joy. Never forget this during your play with changeable mortal life. This world is but a stage on which you play your parts under the direction of the divine stage manager. Play them well, whether they be tragic or comic, always remembering that your real nature is eternal bliss and nothing else. The one thing that will never leave you is the joy of your soul. Therefore, learn to swim in the calm sea of unchanging bliss before you attempt to plunge into the maelstrom of material life that is the realm of sorrow, pleasure, indifference, and a deceptive temporary peace. The wholehearted practice of meditation brings deep bliss. This ever-new bliss is not born of desire. It manifests itself by the magic command of your inner intuition-born calmness. Manifest this serenity always. When bliss comes over you, you will recognize it as a conscious, intelligent, universal being to whom you may appeal, and not as an abstract mental state. This is the surest proof that God is eternal, ever conscious, ever new bliss. Keep your expectations of life positive. Strive to live with unceasing happiness. Let not your possessions possess you, nor the petty details of worldly life invade with hordes of worry the stillness of your heart. Gain strength to rise above distraction by sipping frequently the nectar of inner peace, given you lovingly by angel hands as you grow silently towards self-realization. The wise, even if blessed with material prosperity, never lose sight of the truth that all things are evanescent. Fools, who look to this imperfect world for fulfillment, never gain from it more than fleeting satisfaction. For the very fairest and most delicate dream of earthly happiness cannot but join the solemn procession that winds its way toward the crematory ground of disillusionment. The wise, understanding life's fleeting nature, they waste no time in building dream castles of futile expectations. Instead, they cultivate non-attachment to this earth's experiences. When death comes, they find the perfection of fulfillment in God. Why are you still sleeping? Offer no excuses to yourself that you are too busy to think of God. When death comes, you will have to leave all your engagements at once without notice or delay. Then why not now give up some of your useless pursuits and idle thoughts to make time for God? The world takes from you all it can and keeps you engaged with worthless habits and unproductive activities. You may wish to be different, but day after day you are a prisoner, bound hand and foot by the cord of your habits. You are responsible for yourself, and the world will not answer for your deeds. Then why not remember each day, "My most important engagement is with God"? To eat, work, and die is not enough. The animal does the same. Use your precious gift of reason and try to find him. You do not need to go to the forest where other different temptations will assail and conquer you. Your work is in the world, where your karma has placed you to work out your salvation by serving your fellow man. You can find God in the solitude of your own room when, in the early morning hours and before sleeping, you compose yourself for meditation. With folded hands, say mentally, "Father, thou art omniscient. Thou knowest my every thought. Talk to me. I want to hear thy voice." Say it mentally again and again until you feel it. You have to culture this feeling to work for it. Repeat the prayer again and again until you find your heart throbs with love and yearning for God, and you get a conscious response. Whenever you find yourself with a few moments of leisure, make a sincere prayer. "Father, come to me. Reveal thine omniscient presence." Let no one know of your secret prayers. And remember, you cannot know God if other desires are in your mind at the same time. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me" means God will not reveal himself to you if your thoughts for him are not strong enough to blot out all distracting thoughts. When you wish to express your love for someone, you do not need to quote from a book of poems to express that love. Your love finds its own words, which flow spontaneously from the awakened heart. So pray to God mostly in your own words of love and yearning, not in the borrowed language of others. Never cease to keep up your prayers to God until he answers you. Act from today onward on your desire to know God. Make the effort now to cultivate his friendship without ignoring your worldly duties, but with the thought that you are realizing him through those duties, and thus are pleasing him.